The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Well, Shelley Shepherd Gray, she's back. She's got a brand new book, Thankful. It's book number 2 in the Return to Sugar Creek series. Shelley, welcome.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm delighted to be with you again.
You know, last time it was USA Today bestselling author. You've added a new title here, New York Times bestselling author.
I know. I couldn't be more thrilled. It's been really wonderful how my readers have responded to my novels.
Well, you know, I knew there was never a doubt that you would get on the New York Times best-selling list. Now, let me ask you this. Did your publicist send you a bouquet of flowers?
No. You know, it actually is funny. When I did find out, I had gotten an email, and it said, Shelley, we need you. Can you be available to talk on the phone? And it was about 5 o'clock. And I really thought I had done something wrong. I thought, oh no, I was supposed to do some interview. I'd forgotten, or they had a question. So I'm like, yes, I'll be ready. So when they called, they said, yeah, we just wanted to let you know that your book made the New York Times list. And I was so shocked. I just said, okay, thank you very much. And I hung up, and then I just was thinking, wait a minute, did that really happen? And my husband did the same thing. He just like, wait a minute, what? There were many dreams I had with my books. Making a best-selling list wasn't one of them. I never, ever thought something like that would happen.
Oh, well, that's great. Congratulations to you. I think I was watching something on the news. Somebody had, or maybe a show where somebody hit the New York Times best-selling list and that publicist sent a bouquet of flowers. And I thought, yeah, well, we better find out about your publicist. Maybe she owes you some flowers.
Yeah. You know what? They couldn't have been more excited for me. So, you know, when I last time went to New York, they took me out to lunch. So that'll work out too. It's been fun. I'm so much part of a team with everyone at HarperCollins that they were delighted, and I felt like I did a good job for them. We were all so excited. I was really thrilled for all of us.
Well, I don't know if there's really a middle to a trilogy. This is the second book in the 3-book series, Thankful. Tell me a little bit about the protagonists in this book, who they are, what do they do?
You know, it is really a fun book for me to write. Thankful was. My two hero and heroine are Christina Kempf and Aiden Reese. And what was unusual about this couple is that they had known each other a very long time. And when I started to plot Thankful, I wanted these characters to have one incident in their lives that had marked them. And I feel like all of us can look back on the history of our lives and figure out different times that maybe there's a fork in the road or something big happened, and it's forever in your mind. So for Christina and Aiden, it is when Christina was out ice skating and she fell through the ice, and Aiden literally saved her life. What also just happened was both of his parents had passed away, and he was going to get sent off with relatives and her family, almost as a favor because he had been their next door neighbor forever, invited him to live with them. So they'd grown up knowing that he had saved her life, and that in a way her family had saved his. And the book opens after the prologue with the 10-year anniversary of this event.
Aiden, a couple years older. Christina, couple of years younger, of course, which makes sense. I think she was 12 years old when she fell through the ice.
Uh-huh.
Both kind of smitten with each other, but they really didn't let that be known, I guess, eh?
No, and I was wondering if I was going to be able to write a book, make it sound believable, and actually not weird. I mean, I didn't want it to be like, oh, they were almost siblings, but really I had that they had some guilt about this skating accident, and the guilt had been that she had had a crush on him way back then, and she was kind of showing off, not looking where she was going, and he in turn had a secret crush on her, and that's why he was out ice skating with his next door neighbor. And they kept it secret, and it seemed like a lot of other people, though, in their community knew there was always something between them, except everyone that was closest to them. So it was kind of fun to just see what happened with the relationship and watch it grow, especially with some people that had known each other all their lives, and they were still able to strengthen and grow their relationship. That was something new for me to write about.
Well, the challenge is now, here's Aiden, and he's got feelings for his sister.
Well, you know, he had never thought of her as her sister, and that was kind of fun. I had a couple of characters say, oh, she's like your sister, and he'd say right away, no, she's not. No, she isn't. And I thought, well, there's nothing going to make this relationship come alive than have them have certain other love interests. So, of course, I had different people show interest in Christina, Anne, and Aiden, and that kind of sparked that they realized something must be done. They either need to move on with their lives or stop being afraid of what the other person's going to say and what everyone around them is going to say, and they need to speak from their heart. So that is what one of the themes in this novel is about letting go of fears and just being strong enough to face them and to push forward. For Christina, it was not only her love for Aiden, but also the experience had marked her. She was afraid of water. She was afraid of ice. And she needed to pass that fear in order to grow stronger and become the person she wanted to be.
I hear she was so fearful of water and ice that even her drinks were just warm. That's bad. And, you know, if you've never read Shelley Shepherd Gray, Shelley does write, her protagonists are Amish. Now, with the Amish people, you do take your book and you say, hey, you know, you want to make sure things are right and everything. With Aiden, you know, he's pretty much adopted by a family. He's doing all the work, not all the work, but he does his share of the work, of course. But now he's old enough, he's got a job in a hospital. How unusual is that for somebody of the Amish faith to work with the Englanders?
Mark, I'm really glad you asked that because, gosh, I want to say Thankful is my 21st Amish novel. So, you know, they all can't be farmers. And I had been researching different occupations that Amish men did besides work in woodworking or in a store and so forth. And I had actually found that there were several Amish that they are working as orderlies in the hospitals. And I thought, well, that would be the perfect occupation for him because he is such a caring person, always trying to help others. So that is really, once I found out that it really was a legitimate occupation, I moved on from there. You know, in a place like Sugar Creek, where this series of novels takes place, it's not unusual at all for you to find Englishers and Amish working side by side together. One of my favorite things to tell people about is I did a signing once in the Sugar Creek Library, and there's lots and lots of computer terminals there. It's a very highly frequented library. And there were Mennonite people, Amish people, families, Englishers, everyone's sharing the computers, talking about books. It was just one of my favorite visions of everyone all looking at the new bestsellers list together and seeing what's there. It just made me feel like books always reach out to everyone. And that's when I think of Sugar Creek, is I think of a real mixture. Just people might look differently. Their religions might be a little bit different than someone else's, but all in all, they're all residents of the same area.
Talk to me about Sugar Creek. Doesn't sound like it's a big city. Is it something maybe with just a bank, filling station, and a stoplight, or maybe they have a Walmart? What's Sugar Creek like?
You know, Sugar Creek is in the heart of Amish country, and it's right in Holmes County, and there's about three or four towns all linked together. One is Sugar Creek. It's right next to Walnut Creek, which is right next to Berlin, and right north of that is Millersburg. And in Millersburg, there is a Walmart, and they actually have buggy stalls for the horses. You can get there in a car real easy. In a buggy, it takes a little bit longer. But Sugar Creek, its claim to fame is it's called the Little Switzerland of Ohio. And if you go there, it's this quirky little area. They have kind of an alpine village. So all these stores have, looks like you're right there in Switzerland, kind of. And it's really fun. There's a lot of restaurants you can get, like Swiss delicacies and Amish pie. So it's, I really enjoy the area.
I don't think they have any bighorn sheep, though, in that rocky area.
No sheep.
I'm going to switch gears here. And on the cover of this book here, we see a Amish lady with her white cap. And she has kind of reddish hair, very, very nice looking, in a buggy coming down a road. The book is Hopeful. This is book one in the series. Tell me a little bit about Hopeful.
You know, when I wanted to start this series, first of all, the series is called Return to Sugar Creek. Several years ago, I wrote a series of four books, and it's Seasons of Sugar Creek. And it really resonated with my readers, and my editors asked me to return to the area. Miriam, who is on the cover of Hopeful, was the secondary character in the first series. Her whole purpose in that series was someone who worked at the Sugar Creek Inn, which is where a little restaurant that I made up. It's not actually in Sugar Creek. And she was just a best friend to a lot of my characters. I just needed a filler person to help with the dialogue but I always had her be just kind of this happy-go-lucky person. And so when I began to think about what characters did I want to have for this new series, Miriam came to mind, and really I started thinking, nobody is that happy all the time. She must really have something that she'd rather be doing, or a goal. And that is why I had her be the first heroine in the series. What her book is she's had a crush for quite some time on a man named Junior Byler, who is kind of like, I kind of based his family on that old TV show Party of Six, I think it is, where the parents have died and the kids are all raising each other. So Junior is the oldest, I want to say, of seven kids, and he has had his hands full raising his brothers and sisters. But a new school teacher comes to town who happens to be a good friend of Miriam's. So he approaches Miriam to kind of like introduction, but poor Miriam doesn't realize that at first. At first, she thinks he's finally making his move. So it's kind of Hopeful is kind of a fun book. It was a straight romance that I hadn't written for these Amish books in a while. Usually I try to do a lot more suspense, and it really is kind of a love triangle thing. Miriam has a crush on Junior. Junior has a crush on Mary Kate. Mary Kate has some secrets. She doesn't love anybody, and somehow it all has to get wrapped up. Also, what Hopeful was about is the first of a long storyline for the three books, with two other characters from the first series, Judith and Ben, and they are trying to have a child, and then they end up being foster parents.
Well, in Hopeful, we see Miriam, and she's working at the inn. A little suspenseful there, I think, with a man that comes in. And he's so secretive, and you just wonder where that's going there. And that's a great hook. That's something that you just want to keep turning the pages to find out where he fits in with everything. Tell me more about her friend. That she's a school teacher. Junior's smitten with him, How did Miriam and the school teacher hook up?
The school teacher's name is Mary Kate, and what was interesting to me is I had had a conversation with some of my Amish friends once about being a school teacher, an Amish school teacher, because I knew most Amish don't go to school past eighth grade. And it turns out that many elementary age students in Sugar Creek will actually attend the English public school. They'll ride the bus, they'll be in the same school with everyone. But there are some small community Amish schools. And really, it's some women volunteer to become a teacher. They have a love of learning, but they aren't not necessarily what you would think of as a qualified teacher that Englishers would expect. And that is what happened with Mary Kate, is she is on the run from a bad relationship. And it just so happened that the people in Sugar Creek at this little tiny Amish school were in need of a Amish school teacher fast. And Mary Kate seemed to fit the bill. Because I taught school for a very long time. I taught fifth and sixth grade for almost, gosh, a dozen years. I know how hard it is to be around kids. And I wanted Mary Kate to kind of realize that was not her gift as being a school teacher. And so that was kind of how it all came to be in the book.
Now, here's Miriam on the front page. The way Junior thinks about her, I mean, he'd always make fun of her and stuff, but she's a pretty good looking lady here on the cover.
I thought so. I thought they did a good job with her, with her depiction of her. I wanted, when I was imagining her character, I wanted her to be harder on herself than maybe other people. I wanted her to see all her flaws instead of all the best parts of herself. And again, I think a lot of people do that. They don't always see themselves for who they are. They look at their flaws. They wish they either they wish they looked better, or they wish they had a better job. They wish they had changed something about themselves. And I wanted Miriam to be one of those characters that everyone could relate to. It was a challenge for me. I wanted her to be able to see her flaws, but I did not want her to be one of these people that was always putting herself down. So she's a little bit insecure, but I wouldn't say that she's a weak character. She's kind of got it going on. She gets over her fascination with Junior the more she gets to know him, and doesn't really put up with a lot. And of course that makes him open his eyes all the more and realize that there's a lot more to Miriam than he had first realized.
Shelley, talk to me about the Amish church. Once church is out, it's what, almost like a dinner for the Amish congregation?
Yes. The Amish actually don't go to a church. They have church at each other's house. And they have church every other Sunday. It's all in their church district. In the church district, there might be 10 to 12 families. Hosting is a very big deal. When I saw my Amish friend, gosh, back in March, she was already making plans because she was going to have to host church the first week in June. So that gives you an idea of the stress they have of making sure everything's just perfect. But it's really kind of fun to see if you're ever at an Amish home where they're fixing to have church, because they have that there's a wagon that has all the benches and everything, and it goes from house to house. Most people have like a barn. It looks like a metal-sided barn that you might see in any kind of farm. And that is where they would hold church. And for weeks before, the week before, they'll be getting all the benches and everything ready. After they have a service, and it usually starts about 8 in the morning, it lasts around 3 hours. The men sit on one side, the women sit on the other. They have a very casual lunch, and it's sandwiches, things like that. But usually the person who's hosting it has asked every friend and cousin, aunt, uncle to help with the salads, the cookies, making everything, so it's all ready. Then after church, everyone gathers together, visits, and then they finish up around 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
If I'm going to have church in my barn, is that something I look forward to? It sounds like a lot of work.
I think it would be a lot of work for me. I don't know. My poor husband, he would probably just be like, oh, Shelley's on a roll now. But, you know, I think people enjoy it once it's over. I think when they're getting ready for it, they want everything to look their best. The Amish, at least the Amish I know, just are so proud of their gardens, of their landscaping. They want everything to look just right. And so it's not unusual to have everything, you know, fresh plants and all kinds of things out just so your house looks the best it can. You know, there might be only 10 to 12 families, but you know, you might only host church once a year. So you want that time whenever he comes over to look your best.
So if I want to, maybe I can't, go to a Amish church, or if somebody outside that circle, even though they're Amish, wanted to attend that church, is that doable?
You know, I have heard that, well, I've read in the Budget, which is the Amish and Mennonite newspaper, that, you know, if relatives come in, they can definitely attend church with their friends and neighbors. I've never really heard of an Englisher attending. I imagine if I had really asked my Amish friend, I need to do this no matter what, she would find a way. But it's not really the thing to do, I guess. That's kind of the way to say it. I will say, though, my husband and I got to attend an Amish wedding a couple of years ago. We were invited. It was a 3-hour service, too, and it was really exciting. My friend, she sat us right outside the barn, and we were on, like, these risers, like you'd see, like, at a football game. And so we got a pretty good idea of what a church service would be. Of course, it was all in Pennsylvania Dutch. I didn't understand a word of it, but it was really fun. I mean, we were sitting there, and then all of a sudden, my friend kind of nudged me, and she goes, "We stand up now." And so we stood up. The preacher said some prayers, and then she kind of nudged me again. "We sit down now." So my husband and I sat down. I'll never forget that. So I felt really privileged that I was able to at least be part of that ceremony.
If you were on risers, it sounds like the wedding was just filled with people.
It was, you know, it was in a big old barn. And again, men and women sat on opposite sides, except for the kids. Little bitty kids could just go wander back and forth through their mom and their dad. Then kind of the overflow section, or the people that weren't Amish, got to be on the risers right outside. So my husband and I were one of the very few non-Amish people there. So it was kind of fun that way. But yeah, we did go to the reception. It was a seated luncheon for 300 people.
Wow.
So quite a big to-do.
When I think of a wedding, the English people outside the Amish, they have a reception. Do the Amish people have that? I mean, do they have fiddles or anything?
You know, they don't have any music, but what they do have is they actually hire it's like a dining or a portable kitchen. And, they have a really big meal, lots of attendants there, and I'll have like the same, they'll have made dresses for the occasion. So, say the brides, I guess it would be almost like her maids of honor. The one we went to, they were all in these pretty green dresses, and they serve everything. It's just a long meal. And then, but they're just like anybody else. Everybody's socializing and so forth too. Now, people did tell me that I guess it's just the same as any other wedding. So they'll have the big formal reception and so forth. Then the parents and the old parents' friends and everyone head on home. And then all the kids, you know, the bride and groom and all their best friends, then they kind of have a second party afterwards. So who knows what's going on there, but I'm sure it's great.
When your brand new book, Thankful, you talked early on about, looking at that and which way it was going to go. How do you script these books out ahead of time, do you, or...?
Yes, I do. What I usually do is I talk to my editor about an idea for a series, and it's a rather loose idea. one thing that is particular to me with these Amish books is the titles are especially important. I have a hard time writing a book unless I know the title, because I try to make the title part of the book's theme. For example, in Hopeful, Miriam is hopeful she's going to have Junior one day. And there's also just several characters hoping for something different. The basis of Christina's book, Thankful, is that she always feels she owes Aiden for saving her life. And then the third book in the series is Joyful. So I usually come up with a storyline about each title, and then we go back and forth about the titles and so forth. And then once I get the approval, they give me deadlines and off I go. The great news about this is that I don't have to do a lot ahead of time, but once I start on the book, sometimes I'm thinking, oh gosh, I wish I would have like thought this out through, because I'll be sitting there at my computer thinking, now what's everyone going to do?
They're going to be joyful in this
next
book.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, it almost sounds like an arm wrestling competition, the way you do that.
No kidding.
All right. Thankful, of course, your brand new book, Hopeful, book number one to the Return to Sugar Creek. If I wanted more information about this series and about other books you've written, I'm sure you have a website.
Yes, I do, Mark. It's www.shellyshepherdgray.com. I'm also very active on Facebook. And if any of your listeners are active there too, I hope they'll come find me on Facebook and like my author page. We give away all kinds of things there, a lot of contests. So if they're hoping to maybe give one of my books a try and maybe not pay for it, I hope they'll do that. And I just started being on Twitter too. So I'm just, you know, all over the place. So it's been really fun getting to know readers through different media sites.
All right. Well, the series is Return to Sugar Creek, Hopeful book number one, Thankful book number two. I'd say these are standalone books, but it's always good to, you know, if you haven't read the series, pick up both books, because, you know, these books do intertwine every once in a while, especially with Sugar Creek and some of the areas, some of the businesses that are in here. And of course, you'll know who all the people are in Sugar Creek with the series Return to Sugar Creek. Shelley, thanks a lot.
Thank you. I've so enjoyed coming and visiting with you. I appreciate your time.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I'm your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Shelley Shepherd Gray, author of the Return to Sugar Creek series. Hopeful, Thankful. Watch for her brand new book soon, from the New York Times bestselling author, Shelley Shepherd Gray. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.